Guys, if you would, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 11. And we're only going to be in the first, we're going to go down to verse 25 and we'll pick it back up next week. So I think that's just enough for us tonight, and that's all the Lord would have for us tonight. So Deuteronomy chapter 11, and we're going to go down to verse 25. Oh, one more thing. Be praying for my mom. Her blood sugar spiked over the last weekend, and the doctor told her if it got much higher, she could go into a diabetic coma. And just be lifting her up. She went to the doctor today, and they put her on a little bit of insulin to try to get it kind of down, and they did some other things. But she's doing okay. She's not wigging out or freaking out, but definitely be praying for her. And the neat thing about anytime they have some type of issue like that in their lives, they always want me, they always want to talk to me, and they always want me to pray with them. And that's always very encouraging to me, because that means the Lord is working in their hearts and in their lives. My mom had a scare, and I know I need to get going here, but I want to share this with you. My mom had a scare about 3 years ago. They thought they may have found a lump on one of her breasts. And my dad was, I mean, they've been together, man, ever since they were like 16, okay? They got married when they were 18. So they've been together, you know, forever, you know. When my dad's mom died at 16 from cancer, I can't even imagine what that would be like, you know, for a 16-year-old. But really, that bonded them in a unique way. Because his family, I mean, his dad just did not know what to do, you know. And then his dad ended up marrying a year later. And you can just imagine what kind of dynamic that put into the family and all these other things that occurred. But I mean, he's clung to my mom for all these years. And they're best friends. And they've been together forever. And they've been through a lot. But anyway, they had this lump and she got it checked out. And he came over actually to Henderson Manufacturing, and he wanted me to pray with him. And, you know, and here there's a point to the story, okay? My dad coming over here. So I pray with him, and I don't think anything else about it, you know. Just pray with him, and he goes home. And then, well, come to find out, it was nothing, all right? And he called me a few days later, and he says, I just want you to know that when you prayed with me and prayed for me, it was just like there was just something lifted off of me. You know, and it's not because I'm this great prayer, okay? It's because that's what God does, you know. And when we pray for each other, I pray that we would understand that when we lift people up and God's putting a burden on it for on our hearts, He hears and He listens. And we really don't understand what internally may be going on with that person, how the Lord's ministered to them at that time, you know. So let's just continually be a group of people that call on the Lord and pray to the Lord, okay? And also pray for my ex-brother-in-law too. I mean, and I'll share later if you want to know about what's going on with them. So let's get here now. Therefore, you shall love the Lord your God, keep His charge, His statutes, His judgments, His commandments always. Know today that I do not speak with your children who have not known or who have not seen the chastening of the Lord your God. His greatness and His mighty hand and His outstretched arm, His signs, His acts, which He did in the midst of Egypt to the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and to all his land. And he did to the army of Egypt, to their horses, their chariots, how He made the waters of the Red Sea overflow, flow them as they pursued you, and how the Lord destroyed them to this day. What He did for you in the wilderness until you came to this place, and what He did to Dathan and Abiram and the sons of Eliab and the sons of Reuben, how the earth opened its mouth, swallowed them up, their households, their tents, and all their substance that was in their possession in the midst of all of Israel. But your eyes have seen every great act of the Lord which He did. Remember, Moses spent the first six chapters of this thing reminding these guys how great God's been to them. From 7 to 11, Moses is warning these guys of certain pitfalls that lie ahead, and we're going to go through them this last time, and it's it, I promise. But you know what? You ought to be having these things memorized. We went over them for 4 or 5 weeks. The first one from chapter 7 is, you know what? Don't compromise with the enemy. I'm blessing you. You're going into a wonderful place, but guess what? The enemy's there. Don't compromise with them. They'll get you off track. The second thing from chapter 7, the second warning, is don't fear the enemy. You have every reason to fear them. They're bigger than you. They're greater than you. They're mightier than you. But they're not bigger than your God. So don't fear them. Don't let fear to be developed in your heart. You know, when we fear, we don't go forward. Okay? And if we're saved, really, what do we have to fear? In chapter 8, the third warning, prosperity and self-satisfaction, Moses says, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God. Okay, don't forget. Remember, he was going to bless them so much. He was just going to overly bless them. They were going to have more than they have ever had in their life. He says, you're going to be so, so blessed that you're going to look around and you might think, look at all of what I've done to get this wealth. That should also just remind us that, you know what? The Lord's the one that blesses how He chooses to and gives us what He chooses to give us, right? And then chapter 9, the fourth warning going into the promised land, is pride. See, it had been very easy for these guys to be puffed up. Think about it. After they conquered the heathen nations in Canaan, Israel would be tempted to be proud, thinking it was because of their own righteousness that God had given them the victory. And aren't we so prone to that? I'm easily prone to that. I forget that it's God's grace and the abundance of God's grace that He has poured over my life that has saved me and kept me from things. And all of us would say the same thing, would we not? Stephen and I have just been blown away by this new Matt Redman song. It's Your Grace. What is it? Your Grace Chase. Your Grace Finds Me. And man, we forget about how gracious God is. I want to share a story with my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law, or my ex-brother-in-law now, has been on probation ever since he was 16 years old. Okay? But he has never gone to jail, and he should have gone to jail by now. And here's the point to my story. I grew up with this guy. We were friends from the third grade on through high school. All right? He lost his brother. And this is why I think is the reason why he's where he's at. And I'm not making excuses. Sin's the reason why where he's at. But he had a little brother named Jason. Okay? Jason had a pacemaker. All right? We used to play football in this field all the time and hang out and do these things, you know, growing up, backyard football. Well, one day, he was down there playing with another group of guys, and Jason at this time is only 10 years old, and he's down there playing. He throws him a pass, it hits him in the chest, and it stops his pacemaker. Okay, now this is before cell phones. This is before really it's, you know, you can get in contact with people quick. His mom was gone to the grocery store. They're there by themselves, and needless to say, Jason died. Can you imagine what that did to that family? And I grew up around that family. His dad and I became very good friends. His dad loved cars. He was a paint and body man. I learned a lot from him and different things. And he raced cars. He drag raced. And I hung out with him. Matter of fact, he gave me my first job. Very, very much involved in this family, right? So here's Michael. And he's dealing with that. And I think he's just turned to drugs. I mean, he emotionally shut down after that. He wasn't the same person. Okay? He wasn't the same person. And I look at his life. I look at the decisions and the things that have happened. And I'm like, you know, like I've shared with you before, the group of people that I grew up around in the neighborhood, all of them either ended up, you know, drug addicts or jail or, you know, alcoholics. And God's grace, man, that I didn't end up in that. And so when I see folks like that in those type of situations, it really breaks my heart. When I think about Michael, I don't think about all the things that occurred with my sister and different things. I think about, you know what? I remember him as a third grader. I remember us riding bikes together. I remember us building forts together. When I'm around his son, I say, hey, do you know your dad was in Who's Who in high school? You know your dad graduated top 10 in his class? You know your dad was a very good football player? You know your dad could draw? You know your dad liked to play baseball? You know your dad was very creative? Because all he knows about his dad is he's just this jacked up dude that's been in trouble and he's a drug addict. You see, God's grace. His grace. Moses says, "Don't get puffed up. You know, you guys, you remember what he stated about their hearts. He said, you're stiff-necked. And being stiff-necked is a domesticated animal that will not submit to the yoke that's been placed upon it. And then you know what he told him in verse 24. He says, you know what, you've been that way since the day I've known you. See, it's not about your righteousness and how awesome you are. It's just that God chose to love you. God chose to do this work in your life. God chose to move upon you. God's grace has been poured upon your life. God's grace. Last week, and then we're going to continue on. Last week can be summed up with a reminder. God's in the restoration business. Remember what happened when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the tablets, what the people of Israel doing? They were worshiping around a goat calf. Moses breaks the tablets, not only out of anger, but out of a visual representation. You guys broke God's law. And you remember the whole story of what they were doing. The scripture kind of, you read between the lines of what they were doing. They were basically just having this pagan fest while God was up there having all these incredible plans for them and coming down to bring them His Word and do all these incredible things in their life. And they're just down there having a nice little Cancun spring break type situation going on down there. Okay, that's the best way I can describe the thing. Moses breaks the tablets, okay? And what does God do afterwards? He says, this is what I want you to do, Moses. I want you to make two more. Okay, we're going to give them God's Word all over again. And see, how does restoration begin in the life? How does revival begin in the life? It always goes back to God's Word first. Look in His Word. Look in His Word, right? You think about what happened in the 60s with the... That was a real revival that took... That was probably the last revival that took place in this country. And when we're talking about revival, we're talking about people really all in the thing. We're not just talking about an emotional thing. I mean, you look at these Jesus people, okay? What did it start with? It started with them getting plugged in at this little bitty church of 25 people or whatsoever, and some guy up there just teaching God's Word to these folks. And they just grew and they just grew and they just grew. Think about it for us. When is revival taking place in our life? It's when we really dug deep in God's Word. When we really dug deep in God's Word. You know, I'm not against... Well, yeah, I kind of am. And I'm not going to name the organization that helps addicts. What truly helps is God's Word. If someone gets saved, Christ comes and lives inside of them, and transformation starts to take place. And then when you, what does He say? His Word is, you know, you're like a little baby, you know. You give the Word, you give the Word. I mean, think of how maybe we've grown. How have we grown? It's because of God's Word. It works. His Word works. It truly works. The road to restoration begins with God's Word, and God's Word does work. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God, it's living, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, as the discerner of thoughts and the intents of the heart. Man, I've learned this the hard way. Our fleshly rebukes with folks never work. But God's Word always works. Isaiah 55:10, for as the rain comes down, the snow from heaven, and does not return there, but the water the earth, and make it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent. God's Word works. God says, Moses, make some new tablets. Let's give them the Word all over again. Let's do this thing all over again. That's the cure for rebellion. That's how God works. That's even more evidence of just how much grace. Think about it for a moment. Think about it. I don't know why we get so easily puffed up. Because you know what? We get away from God's Word. We get away from the fact of grace working in our lives. Now let's look at this, verse chapter 11. Love and obedience rewarded. We all know that the Lord wants to bless us and He has blessed us. We all know that, right? Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We are truly a blessed people. God is about blessing people. You know, maybe not necessarily, you know, we're not talking prosperity gospel, you know, the the big house and the new 2, 3, 4, 5 cars, you know, the jackpot. We're not talking about that. We are talking about God is in the business of blessing His kids the way He sees fit. Okay? Blesses us. A blessing is, you know what? Freeing me from my old jerky self. That's a blessing. A blessing is, you know what? I never dreamed that I would have 2 kids. That's a blessing to me. I never thought that I shared this last week. I never thought that I would enjoy a little girl as much as I enjoy a little girl, because then someday or some knucklehead's going to come to my house and I'm going to have to deal with that sucker, right? But man, she's so precious. Jonathan, I'm rough with Jonathan because he's a boy. You know, I'll get him and I'll do this and that, and he'll fall. You know, if he falls down, I'm like, come on, get up. You know, you come on, let's get up. But Abigail, I mean, it's just a different thing. It's a different thing, right? Never knew I'd be so blessed. But let's look at what God tells Israel about being blessed. And I think we can learn some things about blessings. One thing we can learn is the last warning, which we're going to hear tonight. Deliberate disobedience. It will cost on some level. Deliberate disobedience. I'm not deliberately disobedient. Well, let's see what Moses says. In the first 7 verses, Moses uses the phrase, what he did, 5 times. God reminds the people of Israel of his past mercies. Guys, one way to be blessed, okay, one way to be blessed is by remember God's past blessings. Moses says, listen up here and remember. Therefore, you shall love the Lord God, keep his charge, his statutes, his judgments, his commandments always. Know today that I do not speak with your children who have not known or who have not seen the chastening of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, his outstretched arm, his signs, his acts, which he did in the midst of Egypt to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, to all his land. What he did to the army of Egypt, to their horses and their chariots, how he made the waters of the Red Sea overflow as they pursued you, and how the Lord destroyed them to this day. What he did for you in the wilderness when you came to this place, and what he did to Dathan and Abram and the sons of Eliab and the sons of Reuben, how the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, their households, their tents, and all the substance that was in their possession in the midst of all Israel. But your eyes have seen every great act which he did. Verse 3, what he did to Egypt and what he did to Pharaoh, he took those suckers out. Verse 4, what he did to the Egyptian army, remember that, he took those suckers out. Verse 5, what he did for you in the wilderness, what did he do for you in the wilderness? Your clothes didn't wear out, your feet didn't swell. He fed you with manna, he watered you, he took care of you, he guided you. Verse 6, what he did in regards to the rebellion against Moses and Aaron. Well, that's really self-explanatory, isn't it? The earth just swallowed all these folks up. That's kind of freaky and scary if you think about it. God took care of these troublemakers. Verse 7. He finishes up, you guys saw all the great acts which the Lord did. Everything the Lord did, you saw with your 2 eyes. Man, I'm not about living in the past, okay? And I'm not about living, well, God did this and God did that, okay? But what I am about is living in the past and remembering what God had did and how He worked and how He moved. Because you know what? It's a reminder for me today and how He's going to work and how He's going to move today. It's an encouragement today. It's an encouragement to think about, wow, God did this wonderful thing. Well, why wouldn't He want to do this wonderful thing again? When we, you know what? What makes us trust in relationships? Consistency of history. Right? That's what builds trust in relationships. Trust is like putting deposit in a bank, right? You put a bunch of deposit in, but if you're taking more than you're putting in, well, we get in trouble with the whole thing, right? Consistency helps with trust. We look, and after we walked with the Lord, how long have you been walking with the Lord, Stephen? 88, that's 98, that's 2008. That's over 20 years. Okay, I'm not going to do much more math than that. I'm just going to do multiples of 10. I'm just doing multiples of 10, people. Give me a break. Tricia, you got saved when you was what, 16, 15, something like that? 11 or 12? Okay, I'm not even going to try to add that one up. You've been walking with the Lord a long time. Fred got saved by a campfire when he was a teenager. Carol got saved at a very young age as well. I got saved when I was 25. We look back over our life and we see the consistency of His grace. We see the consistency of His mercy. We see the consistency of, wow, He's blessed so many times in so numerous ways. Even when I was being a stiff-necked jerk, He blessed and He worked. I love Scripture. I love what Paul says. He that began a good work in you is going to do what? He will complete the thing. He will complete the thing, right? But notice this also. Who is the Lord talking to in verses 1 and 2? Therefore you shall love the Lord your God. You shall keep His charge, His statutes, His judgments, His commandments always. No, today I do not speak with your children who have not known, who have not seen the chastening of the Lord your God, His greatness and His mighty hand and His outstretched arm. God's not talking to the kids. He's talking to the parents. And two things we can take from this. First thing is this. We need to be applying what God is speaking to ourselves first, instead of worrying about just passing on what we heard to our kids first. Well, son, the Bible says this. This is what you need to be doing. Our kids should be seeing truth fleshed out before I spoke it, before it's spoken out loud. And golly, I tell you what, man, I am desperately learning how. Learning. Okay, I'm saying I'm learning. I'm in the process of learning this thing. Of really, okay, how is this passed on in my kids? You know, how is this passed on? And for me, one thing is I pray for them all the time. Because I know I'm going to make mistakes. I got that. I got that one down. I'm going to make mistakes. And you guys know that. You've already had kids. You know that there's spilled milk involved in raising kids. That's just the way it is. I mean, there's not really a great owner's manual with the thing. Things happen. Things unexpectedly happen. I can remember. And I grew up in a pretty stable home. I can remember one time my sister decided to drink. This was like when she was a freshman, and which was really kind of dumb on her part because she had a basketball game the next day and she got really sick. And my mom told my dad. And it's never been a thing for me. Okay, that's. By God's grace, it's never not anything I've never had an issue. I've never done it, really. But she told my dad, and he just went outside and wept. Because that was what? His little girl, you know. And you think about it, that's, what, 14-year-old girl, you know. And she went to a party, and she got wasted. And just totally taken by surprise, man. Because automatically, what do you do when you're a parent and something like that happens? Where did I go wrong? What did I do? And that's what we do. You know, what am I doing? Man, we just got to pray. We got to allow this word to work in us. It's kind of like I had a friend one time who did have a drinking problem, and he really didn't need to be drinking. And his dad confronted him on this drinking problem while he had a beer in his hand. You don't need to be drinking. Yeah, I mean, that just doesn't work, especially for a young man, does it? It's like, you're telling me I don't need it while you have one in your hand. Okay, come on. James 1, verse 22 through 25. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word. This woman will be blessed in all what he does. We never, never miss out when we do what God tells us to do. Never, never, never. Second thing is this. When was the last time, and we've already covered this, but one more time, we look back and remember God's past faithfulness to us? When was the last time we shared with our kids His past faithfulness or shared with someone God's brought across our path? Hey, this is what God has did for me. And if He'll do this for me, well, of course He's going to do this for you. He's going to do this for you. What do you think those guys at the mission need to hear where they're at in life right now? God is going to restore your situation. Just give Him an opportunity. Give Him a chance. You've given everything else a chance. It hasn't worked out, has it? Give God a chance and see what He'll do. Has life turned out perfect for me? No. Has everything gone always easily and hunky-dory? No. But God has carried me through some stuff. It's by His grace. I mean, He's been so good. Give Him an opportunity. When's the last time we shared, hey, this is what God did for me? These young Laterno kids, you know, some of these guys are going to get out of school and they're going to have a hard time. Evan's having a hard time finding a job. And he's got a very lucrative degree. You know, what does he need? He needs someone like Stephen to come alongside him and say, hey, you know what? When we were married very young, man, we had some tough times. But I want you to understand something. God came through and He took care of us and He blessed us. So hang on to the Lord. That's what you need to do. And be blown away by what he has for you. You know? Because you think about that. You guys got a wealth of past experiences, you know, from what Stephen has shared, how God's continually just blessed Fred and Carol. How God is continually just taken care of and blessed. It wasn't because I necessarily made all the right decisions or had this figured out or whatever. You know what? I just trusted the Lord. I took Him at His word and I just went forward and God chose to bless and He worked the thing out. He worked it out. We need to have a psalmist type heart. Listen to what he says in Psalm 105 verse 1 through 6. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing to Him. Sing songs to Him. Talk of all of His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek Him. Seek the Lord in all of His strength. Seek His face forevermore. Remember His marvelous works which He has done. His wonders, the judgments of His mouth. O seed of Abraham, His servant, your children of Jacob, His chosen one. This is what God's done for me. This is what He's done for me. Has it been easy? No, it's not necessarily always been easy and hunky-dory and rosy. But He has been faithful in the process when things were tough. Guess what? I grew. I grew in godliness. I grew in my relationship with the Lord. Tricia, when you first started playing tennis, okay, I guess your question. What muscles hurt in your body? That you've never used before. You don't do this a whole lot, do you? You're not doing a whole lot of this. Right? It was painful. But what happened? What happened as you continued? It got stronger. And now it's not really that painful, is it? Of course, you know, you may overexert yourself, but it doesn't last. It's kind of like when you run. You got to be willing to get through that first initial, my body does not really like this, in order to get some benefit out of it. It's the same thing with our walk with the Lord. It's the same thing. The Lord allows things to come our way so He can strengthen us and show us His faithfulness, right? Tozer said this, the goodness of God is behind all the blessings He daily bestows on us. Listen to the first two verses in chapter 11 one more time. What was that? I got shut down early last night. No, I'm kidding. Therefore, you shall love the Lord God and keep His charge, His statutes, His judgments, His commandments always. Know today that I not speak with your children who have not known or who have not seen the chastening of the Lord your God and His greatness and His mighty hand and His outstretched arm. What does He say first of all? Therefore, okay, the therefore is everything that therefore has taken place up to this point. He says, you know what? Love the Lord your God. Love Him. Keep His charge, His statutes, His judgment, His commandments always. Love Him. Boy, she's not happy. Love Him. What did Jesus say in John chapter 14 through 21? He who has My commandments keeps them. It's He who loves Me. He who loves Me will be loved by My Father, and I will love him and manifest Myself to him. Love and obedience go together, right? You know, some people got this wacky view of what worship's about. Okay, they just, I worship the Lord all the time. I'm constantly worshiping the Lord. We're having this great time. They're driving. Hey, jerk! They got the Christian fish on back. Hey, get out of my way! Hey, old lady, that was my parking spot. I'm just worshiping, man. I'm singing this worship song, listening to KVNA. I'm just having a big old time. Honk, honk, honk. I'm breaking speed. Okay? If we love the Lord, if we're loving the Lord, we're worshiping on the Lord, we're doing what He says. I mean, what motivates us? What motivates us to be obedient? Because we love Jesus. Man, He's poured so much grace on our lives and on our hearts. We're like, oh, wow. That's why I want to do this thing. We've tried it. We've tried it when it was a have to. And I got to ask you a question. When we just do it because it's a have to, what does that look like? It doesn't work. It only carries so far, right? But when we're motivated by love to do what He asks us to do, man, it's a beautiful thing. And that, boy, that is what our kids need to see, and that is what the world around us needs to see. See, God's always been after our heart. Love me. Trust me to trust me. Do what I ask you to do. And guess what? You're going to be blessed. You will be blessed. You will be blessed. Let's look at what the Lord lays open before Israel, what He has for Israel, and all that. And all they have to do is obey His word, right? That's it. See, we're not only blessed by remembering God's past blessings, we're also blessed by remembering His word. And we remember what God has said, should we then not be doing what He said? And this is what He says. He says, therefore you shall keep every commandment which I commanded you today, that you may be strong. Okay, strong, and go in and possess the land which you cross over to possess, that you may prolong your day in the land which the Lord swore to give to your fathers, to them and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. For the land which you go to possess is not like the land of Egypt which you have come, where you sowed your seed and watered it as foot as a vegetable garden. But the land which you cross over to possess is a land of hills and valleys, which just drinks the water from the rain of heaven, and the land for which the Lord God cares. The eye of the Lord your God is always on it from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. When it rains, it pours. Look how good God is. The blessing of the new land. The number one thing to note about this new land is, guess what? It's not like. It's not like Egypt. Okay, when you were in Egypt, what did you have to do? You had to water the thing yourself, which meant what? They had to go down to the Nile with buckets of water and water the little puny little garden to get some. Have you ever carried buckets of water? Okay, in machine shop, we used synthetic coolant. We had to put it in the machine, okay? And it would hold up to maybe, it depends upon the machine, sometimes it would hold 50 gallons, sometimes it would hold 30 gallons. And you know how I had to transport that to get it in the machine? 5-gallon buckets. Okay, 5-gallon buckets. And every once in a while, that synthetic coolant would get stagnant and start stinking because of bacteria in it. One thing that used to drive me nuts, if someone would come up and spit in my chip pan, don't do that. Do not do that. Why? It's just because, A, I'm getting my hands in this. B, I don't like that stuff on my face because it'll break out. You don't do that. Well, you're a little uptight. Why? Because I don't want your mess. I digress. Here's the point of the story. It's a lot of work to carry 5 gallons. Have you ever done it? Can you imagine if you had to walk all the way down to the Nile and you saw what they had, and you're carrying this and you know it's, you know, when you use the sprinkler system, that's not a bad gig. But to pour out and then go back and pour out again, he says, this is not like Egypt. You worked and you toiled, and it was a big bummer where you're headed. And where you're going, there's valleys, there's hills, and the land just drinks up the water. My eye is upon it. I'm going to pour out blessings upon this place. It's not like anything you've ever experienced before. And I got to ask us all a question here. And I asked myself this question as I looked at this. Is that not what life with Jesus was like and should be like right now? That He's tending it. That He's pouring His heart out. It's not like when we were in Egypt and we were toiling and it was difficult and it was a bummer and we were just trying to maintain our little old veggie garden here to try to milk everything we could out of this little vegetable garden. See, life with Jesus is radically different It's a new land like we never experienced. And should that not be what we should be displaying via by the power of the Holy Spirit? That, man, this life is better than this life is so much better than your little vegetable garden that you're trying to keep alive. Okay? It's better than that. Jesus said this about life. And he said, this is all we need to do. Matthew 6, verse 25 through 33. Therefore I say to you, not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on it. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap and gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to them, even as Solomon in all his glory was arrayed like one of these. Now if God clothes the grass of the field, which today and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Well, you have a little faith. Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? Now here's the key to all this that holds us together. Okay? This is not flightiness. For after these, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows what you need, all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added to you. That's the key to that whole thing. It's not just, I'm just kind of, you know, flighty about the thing, and I'm just going to, you know, just check out a life, and God's going to take care of me. No, the key is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. In other words, he's going to take care of you. When people start, when like college students ask me, and they want to do the whole pros and cons thing, I think that's horrible. Okay, yeah, there's pros and cons to everything. There's pros and cons of being married. There's pros and cons of being single. There's pros and cons of not taking a bath. There's pros and cons of not taking a shower. There's pros and cons of living in a trailer house versus pros and cons of living in a house. There's pros and cons of going outside and getting in the sun. Pros and cons of putting... I mean, there's pros and cons to everything, right? I tell them, well, here's what you need to do. Seek God. That's what you need to do. See, folks want an easy answer. And sometimes there are easy answers. There's common sense, right? They want to... You know what Chuck Smith did with those guys, that first group of guys? Steve Mays told this story. He's over at Chuck's house, and they're working on a car or something. They're up under there, and Steve Mays just shares with Chuck that his daughter just left. Teenage daughter left, ran away. You know what Chuck says? Hey, can you pass me that 3/4 wrench? He's like, oh, we need to be praying about that. In other words, what you need to do is you need to dig down with the Lord on it. You need to seek the Lord. See, that strengthens a person. You need to seek God on that. I'm not saying we're callous about things. That's not what I'm saying. I mean, we love on people, we pray for people, but our first thought ought to be, seek the Lord. See what He wants to do. I had a lady call me the other day. It's someone that I knew from Trinity Baptist Church. I hadn't talked to her in a long time. She's an older lady, and she has a son who's in his late 30s, and he's so frustrated that he's not married. And I can understand that. He feels like he's doing all these right things, and nothing is happening. And she says, will you talk to my son? Because I had a similar set of circumstances in my life. And so I talked to him, and my first thing to him is, you need to start fasting, you need to pray. That's what you need to do. Really? Yeah, that's what you need to do. You're in need of some divine intervention. You need to fast and pray and seek the Lord and say, okay, well, what's the deal here? God, what are you trying to work out of my heart? Because that's what God did with me. He's needed to work some things out of my heart before He had blessed me with who He blessed me with. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek Him. Man, He's not going to let you down. He's going to take care of you. Verse 16 through 17. Moses says, don't put trust in what grows. Keep trusting in who makes it grow. Think about that just for a minute. See, there's a danger in being blessed. We could turn from the Lord when He chooses to prosper us. These guys had to depend on God for rain. And when they got away from the Lord, what happens? He shuts the heavens up and He gets their attention. Listen to what He says to them. Oh, I forgot to read the rest of this. And it shall be that the earnest obey my commandments, which I command to you today, to love the Lord God, serve Him with all your heart, with all of your soul, then I will give you rain for your land in the season, the early rain, the latter rain, that you may grow in your grain, your new wine, your oil, and I will send grass in your fields for your livestock, that you may eat and be filled. I'm going to take care of you in such a unique way. But He says, take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them, lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you. He shuts up the heavens so that there would be no rain, and yet land yield no produce, and you perish quickly from the good land which the Lord has given you. Don't trust in what grows, trust in who makes it grow. Okay? Trust in who makes it grow. And what did the people of Israel do time and time again to try to get rain? They would turn to idols, right? You remember what Elijah, when they had the big showdown on Mount Carmel, you remember what happened to that? It hadn't rained in 3 years. Elijah shows up, Ahab, hey, you troublemaker. Elijah says, no, fool, you the troublemaker. He didn't say fool, but you know, you're the troublemaker. You brought this trouble on Israel. Hey, let's meet up at Mount Carmel and let's see whose God is whose God, right? And you know, the prophets of Baal, they're cutting each other and they're dancing around. And Elijah says, did your God go on vacation? I mean, well, why are you not doing this, right? And finally, at the end of the day, you remember what happens. Their altars tore down, and Elijah says, okay, let's build this thing up. Build it back. Let's build the altar up. Dig a trench around it and bring water. It hadn't rained in 3 years. That's a valuable. Come on. Just bring it. Keep bringing it. Keep bringing it. Keep bringing it. Keep bringing it. And you remember what happens. You know the rest of the story. Boom. God shows up. Got their attention. Don't trust in what's growing. Trust on who makes it grow. How do we do that practically as Christians? Is we continually call on the Lord. We continually be in prayer. We continually seek Him. We don't get comfortable. We don't get comfortable. We draw near. We enjoy Him. And then you know what? If things kind of go awry, and we've lived long enough to know things happen in life, that when those things happen, we know that, you know what, God's there. He's going to take care of the situation. He's got it covered. Man, if we're trusting what's growing instead of who makes it grow, and we see that thing that's growing, wilting, man, what do we normally do? Well, we try to make something happen, don't we? Look at verse 18 through 25. Here's the key into not getting a place of putting in trust of what grows instead of who makes it grow. And it's simple. It's nothing big. It's nothing we haven't heard before. There's nothing new under the sun. It's what? Simply stay in God's Word. And let God's Word stay in us, right? Therefore, you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul. Okay? That's where you need to lay up. That's where you need to treasure, right? And bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be on the frontlets of your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. I'm so blessed when I go to one of your guys' house and I see scripture on the wall and stuff. I'm so blessed by that. Don't think for 1 minute your kids don't read that and see that. They do. They do. That your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heavens above the earth. For if you carefully keep all these commandments which I command you to do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to hold fast to Him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you. You will dispose greater and mighty nations than yourselves. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be... You know all God's looking for? Okay, all He's looking for is someone that will just trust Him. That's all He's looking for. You know, we live in a country where I hate it when I hear someone say this about someone who's a teacher or whatever. Oh, they're so charismatic. What does that mean? They're good at telling jokes? I mean, what, they're animated? I mean, what does that mean? They're entertaining? You guys heard Chuck Smith teach. He just taught. And I'm not saying jokes or... But if that's all someone has to say is they're charismatic, they're this, or they got so great a person, where's God in all that thing, you know? Where's God in that thing? You know what I have seen is when a ministry is built on that type of thing, when that person who was in charge of that ministry leaves, you know what happens to that ministry? It shrinks because it wasn't founded on God's Word. All God's looking for, all He's looking for is someone that would just trust Him. I mean, think about it. Just trust me. That's all He's looking for. Take my word on it. Every place in which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours, from the wilderness of Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even to the western sea shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand against you. The Lord your God will put the dread of you and the fear of you upon all the land where you tread, just as He said to you. Just trust me. Now, part of this trust in doing His word was they had to actually move forward in that in spite of everything that they saw. But see, things are not based on what we see. Things are based on what we hear. What we hear, right? Don't put trust in what grows. Instead, who makes it grow? By simply staying in God's word. And being in God's word shows itself in doing God's word. The Lord told Joshua this, Joshua chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide an inheritance, the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from the right hand or the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it in the day and the night, that you may observe to do all according that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Joshua, this is the game plan. This is what you're to do. You're simply to take me at my word. You're simply to be meditating on my word. But understand something. All the meditation in the world is going to do you absolutely no good unless you do my word. Do my word. That's as far as we're going tonight. So here's some thoughts to close with. Do this. Please do this. Please do this. Sometime this week, jot down on a piece of paper the Lord's past faithfulness in our life. Just jot it down. And I pray, and you know what? We're going to be so blessed if we do it. Because you know what? When we start jotting stuff down, you know what's going to happen? The Lord's going to trigger our memory on other things that we totally forgot and what He did. And it's just going to bring us back to this place of, oh God, I'm just so thankful. Thank You so much. Thank You so much. Just think about how faithful the Lord has been. When we open, second thing, when we open God's Word in the morning, okay, when we do that, think of how blessed we are that the Lord takes time to share His heart with every day if we will just open His book and open our hearts to His book. Okay, that it's not just, there's a process here. We open His book. We come to His book. And Lord, I'm opening my heart to what You have to say. Not necessarily my head, but my heart. I want to receive what You have to say, Lord. I want to hear what You have to say, Lord. And then when He speaks that to us, man, we're going to have to do something with that. We might be surprised what He asks us to do. We're so blessed. Close with this one verse, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Man, to be a redeemed individual, to be a child of God, it gets absolutely no better. We've been given a wonderful message. We've been given a wonderful Savior. And you know what? God is wanting this message to get out. Everywhere we go, this message needs to be getting out. You know, next time we go to Walmart And I love doing this to those people that work there. Because you know, man, that that's just got to be a bummer. You know, people get mad and bring coupons in, the machine won't work. I mean, you just go on and on, right? Is to really purposely try to bless that person that's running that cash register. That's really not a cash register now, is it? It's some other thing. I don't know what they call it. But really bless them. Ask them how they're doing. Well, God bless you. And sometimes, you know what, might even have an opportunity. Hey, can I pray for you? I've been surprised the number of times people opened up and started telling me stuff. And I was like, hey, can I pray for you right now? I mean, God's wanting to bless people. Man, and since we're so blessed, shouldn't we want to share the blessing, right? So blessed, shouldn't we want to share the blessing, right? So blessed, shouldn't we want to share the blessing, right? So blessed, shouldn't we want to share the blessing, right? So blessed, shouldn't we want to share the blessing, right? So blessed, shouldn't we want to share the blessing?